If you are interested in a career in policy or government affairs, stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Kiki.
And I'm Kemi.
And you're listening to
Your Advisors Will See You Now, a podcast that will help you to figure out all of your options for life after high school.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of Your Advisors Will See You Now. If you are new, this is our Career Chats episode, where we interview different people in different careers, so that way you can actually understand what they do and how they got into it. So today, we have Melissa Ano with us today, and she's going to discuss with us looking at policy in government affairs. So thank you, Melissa, for joining us today, and can you please just share what career you're in, and what is your title, and just a little bit background about yourself.
Thank you for having me. My name is Melissa Ano. I currently work on Capitol Hill. I serve as a professional staffer. You go with the long name. It's a super long name. So I work on the House of Representatives for the Committee on Financial Services. I specifically work for the Subcommittee on Housing and Insurance. So what that career entails is a lot of interactions when it comes to drafting legislation. And what I mean by that, when it comes to housing or affordable housing throughout America, when it comes to homelessness, when it comes to homeownership for, you know, communities of color, for first generation who never had the opportunity to become homeowners, giving those opportunities to those, especially for low-income renters that are seeking to become a homeowner or just need that assistance because of systemic barriers that have impeded them from prospering or having a beneficial life.
See, I should have, well, hold on, I'm going to ask you, what was your educational background? Like, what did you major in college? I'm curious.
Sorry. I probably jumped in too quickly, but I pursued a degree in social work. Got my bachelor's in social work. I thought I wanted to be a therapist. I was on that clinical route. And you know, when it comes to social work, you have to get a master's because helping people does not pay enough. Mm-hmm. So, and I didn't have a choice because coming from an African household, my mom was like, you need to get a master's. So when I came back home, I got my master's in social work from Catholic University. Sorry, I got my bachelor's from Mary Baldwin College at the time and is now a university, but I pursued my master's at the Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C.
Okay, very cool. No, like what you were saying you do, I majored in political science, and I feel like what you do is what I should have been doing. I was just out here flitting around. Just floating around. But that sounds like something that sounds like very, very cool. And I'm sure a lot of listeners will relate. Like, there's just so many different things you can do with your social work major. So can you share, because I thought you were going to say you majored in political science, which doesn't have to always be the case. So what led you from social work? Did you like work at did you use your master's in that capacity in social work for a little bit of time? But basically, like, what led you to where you are now?
So after I received my bachelor's in social work, I came home, I started to work. I was doing a little bit of case management, doing some home visits. I hated that job. So I was applying, seeing what else I could do. And I landed on this job doing case management, essentially providing assistance to women experiencing homelessness in Maryland, in my area. And so first of all, I was just like, I never knew homelessness existed. Like, I live in a very wealthy county where people are able to thrive, very diverse. So just having the thought of like, oh, somebody experiencing homelessness, I just never thought that was a thing. Yes, you would see people on the sidewalks, on the streets asking for money. But, you know, I had the assumption of, oh, they're probably using or don't give them money because they're probably going to buy, you know, that assumption of going to buy alcohol, they're on drugs and things like that. So I applied for that job. I got it. It was very eye opening. First of all, I always say that there isn't a face to homelessness because a lot of the women that I worked with were women who simply fell ill, couldn't catch up with rent because they couldn't work and they became evicted. So when you have an eviction on your credit history, it stays on for 7 years. So as you are applying for other apartments, once you're able to gain employment, some form of income, it stays on your record. So because it stays on your record, a landlord's going to turn you away because you can't afford you. They're thinking that, oh, you're not able to pay rent, but they're not understanding the full scope of the issue. I've seen where elderly women have been kicked out of their family's homes because their child no longer wants to take care of them. It was mind blowing to me. So it was just these things. And even like applying for assistance, like when you're trying to apply for a job and you need also assistance like from social services, there are so many barriers just for those women to get help. Like they're not going to stop working to get the help. They have to work in order to get some form of income to lift themselves out of poverty in order to obtain housing, you know, to become stable. So a lot of the barriers that I observed really frustrated me. So during that time frame, I was applying to go to Catholic and I got in. Again, I was thinking that I was going to be a therapist. I was going to do some clinical work, something, maybe in public health, something like that. But then as I was working with these women, I was just like, no, this something has got to give, because I'm just like, this is very frustrating. I said, it could be me. I could be experiencing homelessness. Like, it could be anybody. So in social work, there's two tracks. You can do the clinical and then you can do the macro. Clinical is more if you want to do therapy, if you want to do case management, like you can work in hospitals, giving assistance to people in need, whatever. There's like a broad range that you can do from a clinical aspect. From the macro, you can do like community work, you can do grassroots from your local community, you can do tap into some policy. There's so many things that you can do. So I chose the policy route because I wanted to understand the policy. I wanted to understand the gaps within those policies. Who were drafting these policies? Who were writing these policies out? Are they people like me? Are they people that are on the ground experiencing these things? So I took that route, graduated, and I got my degree in social work with a focus in social change. So that's how I landed there. But then because I had an extensive background in clinical work, doing case management, I was applying for jobs, but people were like, oh, are you sure you want to make this career move? Are you sure you want to, you know, go into policy? I was just like, yeah, I went to get this degree for a reason. I got these loans out for a reason. So I kept on getting denied. And I made this really drastic career change. I just wanted to add that I wasn't getting paid enough. I was probably getting paid $40,000, okay, with my bachelor. After I received my master's, I was like, I need more money. I need a new job. I needed a career change. So I was getting paid around $40,000. But then I saw this opportunity, I think it was January 2020, where it was an AmeriCorps opportunity to specifically work for a national organization that specifically focuses on homelessness. So I was thinking, I was just like, do I want to do this? Do I want to do this? Because, you know, AmeriCorps, they don't pay anything. They don't pay a lot. But I was thinking, maybe it's going to be a great career move for me because I get to understand homelessness from a national perspective because I had an understanding from a local. So having that understanding from a national perspective, understanding what homelessness is from state to state, community to community. Like, let's say California has a high number of people experiencing homelessness. Florida is another example. Texas is another example. Understanding urban versus rural. So having that, I thought that it would have been a great shift. So I interviewed. I got the job. But then I also understood that I was going to get a significant pay cut. Luckily, I was still living with my mother, and I had a conversation with her. I'm like, look, I really want this job. I think it would be helpful for me to make a shift in my career. So I accepted the job. They offered me the job and I was offering ideas. And it was really eye opening because I'm just like, wait, Maryland does a great job at addressing homelessness, but this is not the same. It's not the same for every other state. So it just really opened my eyes to see like, okay, homelessness is really a big issue in America overall. And luckily, not to say that the pandemic is a bad thing, it's a completely bad thing. But for me, it kind of worked out because once the pandemic happened, I was able to work from home. And the expense aspect of it, I didn't feel it as much because I was home. I wasn't commuting to DC every day because the DMV area is expensive. I'm not going to lie. So I was there for like, a year and some change. And then I randomly got hit up on LinkedIn. My director at the time, she messaged me on LinkedIn. She was like, hey, are you interested in a job working for the Committee on Financial Services? I looked at that message and I was like, what is this? So I had to Google it. I was doing the Googling. I'm like, okay, well, I guess this is real because I really thought that I was being scammed. So I looked online. I asked her, I was like, okay, sure. Like, can you provide me a brief guide, like, of what you guys do? What's your day-to-day? And so she started to list out, like, we do hearings, we do markups, we drive talking points. And as I was doing the Googling, I'm seeing, oh, the chairwoman is Maxine Waters. I'm just like, oh, I know Auntie Maxine. Like, I know that lady. I was just like, okay, well, let me just apply. And, well, let me just apply, accept the interview, and see what happens. And during that time, my year at AmeriCorps was ending. So I was just quickly looking for jobs. I'm just like, I need to find a job. I need more money. I need employment. I can't not work because I had bills to pay at the end of the day. So I was just getting turned left and right. Like, no, we think you'd be good, but I think you'd be better suited for this. So I was just getting jumped from place to place. But eventually I had the interview with my director. And I thought I bombed it. I thought I did so bad because she has a poker face. And I didn't even think anything of it because at that time I was just like, you know what? I don't care. If it happens, it happens. It doesn't. If it doesn't, oh, well, I'll find something else. So then I got the job. They offered it to me in, what year are we in? 2024 and 2021, April of 2021. So this year will mark 3 years since I've been working on Capitol Hill. I've never worked on the Hill before. It's a completely different world. Very high pace, high demand. But I am surviving. I am here. And it's a very good experience. And it's a very interesting story because not many social workers are found on the Hill, especially with my background, having that firsthand experience working on the ground. I specifically told myself, I said, no matter what, I always went to go to the heart of the issue and understand people on the ground in order to write these policies at the higher level so that we're able to directly provide them with assistance that is effective and that will effectively end the issue of homelessness, the lack of affordable housing, providing a gateway for the dream of home ownership for families that have never had the opportunity to become homeowners and things like that.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow, it was great. That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I think it really is just a true testament to how dedicated you were to the cause that you were making X amount of money and you decided to take even a pay cut because you really wanted to assess the need and understand how you can better inform and help this in America. And then, in addition to that, it was also kind of like a career pivot too. So, you know, that's very intimidating. I'm all for career pivot. I pivoted too. I'm like, anybody wants to pivot, do it. That's just a great story just to hear all that you went through. And now you're working on Capitol Hill, which is just insane.
I still don't believe it. Like sometimes I'm just sitting there. I'm like, oh, like I'm on the Hill. I'm with politicians, like just talking to them, watching them walk around. So it's just, I'm really grateful that I've gotten to this point, and I'm meant to be there. So a fun ride.
Yeah,
the role is amazing.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you do in your day to day on Capitol Hill?
LOL. Okay. I might get a little nerdy because it's so nuanced, but majority staff, for example, we use the House of Representatives. So as you know, the Republicans currently hold the majority. So every month they establish a schedule for the committee. So within that schedule, they determine how many hearings we're going to have, markups when you want to get a bill out of the committee in order for it to become law, and other miscellaneous things. So they determine the calendar. So based off that calendar, if there is a hearing on housing, then we would have to prep for that hearing. So a hearing entails of, let's say, a member has a concern about a specific topic. So let's say homelessness. They would invite four witnesses to come and to talk about that specific topic. Because Democrats do not hold a majority, we're only allotted one witness, while the Republicans are given three. So because of that, we have to be focused on, like, okay, when we find a witness, we have to make sure that the witness can talk about all scopes of the issue that is at hand. So we prep a memo. Let's say it's, I say that working on the committee is like a grad school forever, because you're drafting a memo, like a 5-page memo talking about the issue, highlighting data, and you're drafting questions for members because you want questions on the record so politicians are able to understand the issue at hand. So when they go back to their districts, they can talk about the issue, speak of it. It's basically an education for politicians to understand the matter of the issue. So that's one part of it. Markup, let's say during a hearing, they introduce a bill that they want to see enacted into law. It has to go through a phase called markup, where various members on the committee make amendments to that bill that was introduced during the hearing. And they have, it's basically a debate. They're talking about why their amendments need to be included, why not. It gets pretty heated, I'm not going to lie. the back and forth. And so us staffers, we have to be on our P's and Q's and provide responses. So let's say you have to provide talking points for, let's say, Ranking Member Waters. She'll ask questions like, oh, well, how many bills did we pass out of our committee last congressional year? So we just have to be quick. So it's like a high stress. You have to move very quickly. So that's another aspect of it. Another task at hand, a day-to-day, is whatever a ranking member wants, she gets. So let's say if she has a question or wants detail about what's happening in her district in regards to homelessness, then we would have to draft a memo for her to provide all the detailed information needed. Sometimes we have to attend meetings with constituents from her district or people that oversee housing or handle housing. A lot of the day-to-day is having meetings with stakeholders, too. I would say 75% of my day consists of meeting with constituents, highlighting their issue area, what they need, telling us what they want Congress to do. For example, let's say homelessness. Right now, fun fact, there's more than 650 people experiencing homelessness in America. No, 650,000 people experiencing homelessness in America. Mm.
Wow.
So they're going to constantly come to us, be like, we need more resources. We need X, Y, and Z. We need this. We need that. And we're like, yes, we understand. We completely understand. Then because we do not hold the majority, Democrats do not hold the majority, we can't do a lot of movement because we're not the decision makers. Republicans hold the decision. So if they want to move a bill regarding providing more funding, they can't. So we encourage a lot of our constituents, please go talk to our Republican counterpart. Let them know what's going on. Please highlight what your needs are. See if they're willing to provide more funding or, you know, create law that addresses the whole issue. Yeah, that's a day-to-day. It's high pace. Sometimes you can be in the midst of trying to do what you need to do, and then everything stops if she's requesting something, Ranking Member Waters. So you're basically trying to get through the day-to-day, but also making sure that the needs of our boss, we call her our boss, Ranking Member Waters, requests are made in a swift action. My job specifically, essentially, we hold our agencies, especially for the Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, accountable. We meet with them just to make sure, like, okay, what's going on with this program? We notice this program gap. What are you doing to address this? Is there anything that Congress can do to legislate in order for it to address some of the issues that you guys might have? So, yeah.
That sounds cool to me. I mean, that's more than I think I just learned more from you just now than I did in my major in college that I paid a lot of money for. But
right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, sorry. You take government class and you barely remember anything you learned until you're like on the ground. Right. And you're like, oh, so this is what they were talking about. Oh, exactly. Okay. Makes sense. Yeah.
And I was gonna say that's what it is. Like the learning in the classroom. It's great, of course, but it's like mm-hmm. the practicality, like when you get out into like the field and you really start,
right.
like you said, connecting the dots. That's really cool, though. I'm very intrigued. And you work for Maxine Waters, which is like, that's really amazing.
Yeah,
she's a figurehead, okay?
She is a figure. Like last week we went to we have to go staff her. Another fun fact, we have to staff them at events that they're speaking at. So me and my colleague went to go staff her at her speaking event. And it was just so, it's like a breath of fresh air, just seeing the fire that she has, the passion that she has, because not a lot of members on the Hill have that passion. Some of them are performative, but just to see her actually, she doesn't hold anything back. She'll tell you straightforward, like, mm-hmm. I'm going to do this. I'm determined to do this. And I will. I don't care whose foot I'm going to step on, but it's going to get done. But I appreciate working for her. I love her. And I'll forever be a fan. And it's an honor to work for her as a team.
Yeah, that's amazing. Like, that's super cool. You highlighted some of the, like, what you do in your day-to-day. What do you think, or what would you share as some of skill set that somebody that may want to do it, you know, your position, what are the skill sets that you would recommend that they hone in on?
I would say writing is a skill set. Excuse me. Wow. A skill set that you must have. Mm-hmm. You do tons and tons of writing. Another thing is to pay attention to detail when it comes to certain things, because you're constantly proofreading and you're also writing talking points and remarks for the ranking member. And especially when you're writing memos, you have to be very detailed, very straightforward, because you're writing as though someone who doesn't know about the topic. So they're able to understand it. Learning how to deal with high stress. This is a stressful job. I'm not going to lie. It's high stress. It's fast paced. Things are constantly moving. You could be working on something and then the next day or even within an hour, things change and like you have to pivot. So it's just understanding like, okay, have the understanding that things may not go your way, because politics also comes into play. Like I'm a policy person, so I'm thinking from the policy perspective, but then things shift as politics come to play. So just having that understanding too. Another skill set is taking initiative. Being on this committee specifically, I love that our directors, our leadership, they're very open to hearing different ideas. If there's an issue that keeps on coming up, they love when you bring an idea to try to address it. Like, yes, they're leadership, but they're always asking us, like, okay, what do you think is best? Because I'm the expert at hand. So mm-hmm. I know what the issue is. And so they ask us, like, okay, well, is this going to work? If we try this, is this going to work? So it's just like a brainstorming, coming up with ideas, initiatives. So just taking the lead on things. Another skill set, I think, knowing how to network. I'm not going to lie. This is one thing as an introvert I'm struggling with. I like to say to myself, I can stay in my mm-hmm. room for hours at hand and not be bothered by anybody. So being on the committee, being on Capitol Hill, you're looked as, oh, I need to talk to her. I need to know who she is because she's able to help me get my priorities across the finish line. So having to know people, especially in the housing space, because it's very small, just having to network, even if you don't like to network, like I give myself a goal of, okay, well, have coffee with this person, at least a minimum, like meet with two people a week or maybe a month, like being realistic about it. But you have to network. You have to get to know people, especially because when it comes to stakeholders, when you're drafting bills, you need feedback. So you need to develop a sense of trust when it comes to them, because you're depending on them to provide you with guidance on how to draft legislation in order for it to be successful. But I think those are the main things one should have when working on the Hill.
Wow. That's just, I don't know why, I just like, it resonated with me, the whole introvert thing. Because when I used to advise students, I think it was more of an introvert thing, but it was a way for them to get good points. Like, you set a goal to raise your hand twice in that class, every class, mm-hmm. to make sure you get extra points. Mm-hmm. But I don't know why that made me think back to that. But go ahead.
I forgot one more thing, research. It's research heavy, so constantly researching on your issue at hand. It's just, like I said, it's grad school. As long as you stay there, it feels like grad school. You're constantly learning. You're constantly researching. And luckily, we have the resources. I didn't know this, but we have people at hand that are actually doing a deeper dive because we're moving so quickly. They're researchers that specifically work on, like, let's say work on my portfolio that I can reach out to them and like, hey, can you let me know if this bill makes sense? Hey, what does this mean? Yeah. What does this mean? I don't understand. Can you walk me through this bill? What are the implications? What are the benefits? Does HUD have a regulation that states this, that, and the third? I want to introduce a bill that kind of would allow HUD to do that. So it's just like, you have people, they have the resources, because again, it's a high paced environment. So sometimes I don't have the time to just sit and read. I can just call somebody and be like, hey, what's going on with this? Yeah.
It's like your own Google.
Basically.
But that's so necessary. I know I'm about to ask this question, and I know you've kind of mentioned, it seems like, some of it and already in that last answer, but could you tell us some highlights of your job or challenges?
I love seeing her in action. I love seeing my boss in action, because you understand why, I'm going to go into the challenges, why she asked for so much. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She's very inquisitive. She's very sharp. So when she notices a gap where, like, she's doing her own research on the side, she'll call and be like, hey, I need this, that, and the third. Can you pull the information for me? So you have to be very quick and provide it with her within, like, a short amount of time. But just sometimes, like, I'm not going to lie, I'm just like, oh my God, this is a bit much. I am tired. I need a break. All the research that she's asking for, like, sometimes you're looking, like, it's like, can I do this? But then when you see her in action, you see her speaking about the issue, you see her speaking to the people, it's like people are depending on her, honestly. Mm-hmm. They're really depending on her. And the passion is there. So it's refreshing to see that she is. I think she said this one thing where she's angry because we're dealing with a housing crisis. There's a homelessness and housing crisis. Rent is expensive. It's impossible to buy a home right now because of mortgage rates and the cost of housing. So we had an opportunity to address it last Congress, but because of two senators saying that that's too much money to spend, it made her upset. Like, she was like, I have this anger, and I'm happy that I have an anger that I can put into and continue the work that I'm currently doing. So just hearing her say that, because day to day, like, you're constantly fixing problems, and to hear her say that she's able to hone her anger into continuing the fight, to put in the work, to not end, is really refreshing to see her not stopping. It's like nothing's going to stop her, and she's going to continue, which also encourages me to remember my why. Why did I choose to do this? Why does this make me happy? You know, because mm-hmm. you can easily get swindled into, like, America, what is going on here? Especially with the Republicans. I'm just like, you guys are mad crazy. But it's really refreshing to see that she is setting an example, essentially, mm-hmm. for one to continue the fight despite of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Awesome. So you have your bachelor's degree, you have your master's degree. Were those the requirements for your position, or are there like various ways somebody could enter in? Or like, what are the requirements, would you say, for your role?
I would say you need a master's degree, especially in the DC area specifically, because I'm not going to lie to you. A bachelor's degree is like a high school equivalent to high school diploma in the area, because it's very competitive. But then also experience too. A lot of people on our committee have a background in advocacy. So because of that, our director specifically likes to hire people who've done the work through advocacy, through direct service. But on the Hill, overall, it's through like internships. If you're interested in working on the Hill, it's through internships, it's through networking. I know that for communities of color, we have the Congressional Black Caucus that offers a fellowship every year to give opportunity for Black interns to be on the Hill. There are various fellowships on the Hill that one can enroll. And normally that would start the track of like staying on the Hill, because it's a high turnover rate, I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. Especially working for directly working with a member in their personal office, you have the opportunity from jumping from office to office. So like, okay, I'm here, I'm working as a staff assistant, but I'm really interested in this issue area. I'm going to look around to see what other members have openings. And sometimes they can stay there for 6 months and then they can jump to another job. So the idea of staying at a job for a year on the Hill is not, I would throw that out the window. Yeah. When I started working on the Hill, I was just like, why are people leaving? People were leaving so fast, because once you're on the Hill, it's just like a step forward to like going to the next level. So people are quick to take the opportunity. Let's say you work on the Hill, but then you want to work directly with the government so you can get that job opportunity and leave within like months. There's definitely opportunities, a lot of networking. But if you want to get your foot in the door, after graduating, internship is your best bet.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious from what you just talked about, and I wrote it down as a question too. So you mentioned that you can like hop around to other representatives, like other issues, things like that. But and I know you're still like relatively new, but based on what you just said, you're kind of a veteran in what you do, because you've been there for more than 6 months.
Right.
Yeah. But
do you have like aspirations to do like something else, like what, like on the Hill, or I'm just curious, like, what do you think your next step maybe would be, like, based on what you've done in this role?
I've been actually thinking about this a lot, because I know that Capitol Hill is not the end for me. Mm-hmm. I know for me, I want to venture, because I'm handling a mass portfolio. I specifically want to deal with homelessness. So I would like a career that maybe in a director role, a higher level role, running an organization that specifically handles homelessness and to really address it throughout America. But that's something that I'm really developing right now. But I feel as though right now on the Hill, I'm really grasping, getting my groundings, understanding the people, understanding the work, the policy, the politics of things. So I think my tenure has not ended yet, but I have started thinking about what my end goal would be.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not sure if you have any other questions, Kiki, but I just have a comment. Just thank you for what you're doing, because it's so important. And I was literally just watching something on YouTube yesterday, and there was this gentleman that was going around in California, and he was trying to get to the bottom of like the homeless, like the housing crisis, and like the number of like people that were homeless in California. Mm-hmm. And just hearing some of those like responses from people that are like in those shoes is just heartbreaking. And there really is work that needs to be done. So just thank you for all that you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. The work is a lot, is extensive, but someone has to do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Someone has to do it, but it'll get done, but I appreciate it.
Right. No, I echo what Kemi said too, for sure. And so I'm just like thinking, you know, when people get into like helping fields, they always, you know, some people wonder, am I really making a difference in what I do? Mm-hmm. And so like you're in the trenches, like you said before, America, there's a lot going, we got a lot going on here.
It's ghetto.
It is hard because it's hard. It's like we have the Republicans, we have the Democrats, and it's just, mm-hmm. there's like it seems like there's very little bipartisanship. Is that the right term? We get fed from the media, like, oh, you know, this bill passed, this didn't pass. We see on the TV homelessness everywhere, and like in huge numbers. So I'm just curious, like, do you feel? I think yes, but do you feel and do you see the impact of what you do every day? Just because like this is such a like, and I know you do it in California, which is a huge state. So yeah, I'm just curious, like, how do you feel like you're making a difference? I know you are making a huge difference.
That's a good question and a tough question, because sometimes honestly you feel as though you're not making a difference, mm-hmm. but small wins are wins. Mm-hmm. We did pass several bills through, like, I'm about to get nerdy again, through appropriations. Bill helps fund the government. I know that when we say that the government might shut down, it's because they're not able to come to decision through appropriations when it comes to the allocation of funds within government programs. So we're able to like sneak in some legislation that will help address some level of homelessness. And like HUD is also doing the work too. Like, yes, we allocated funds to them, but they're also seeing like any gaps or things, authority that they can do in order to advance or to provide assistance to people in need. But yes, I would say that we're making a difference slowly but surely, mm-hmm. especially in the climate that we're currently in. I know that election season is currently coming up. So we're hopeful, fingers crossed, that the House of Representatives will take the majority so we can actually put some legislation out and get the ball rolling, because they mm-hmm. can't even come to agreement amongst themselves. But we'll see how that goes next Congress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. And I asked that too, because as I mentioned earlier, you know, we see we see what's on TV. We read articles, we see the media, and I know that's not the full story. And Kemi and mm-hmm. I both have friends that we've had on here that are reporters, and they know, like, they like that's their job is to put out the media. You know, the media is going to put out whatever is the most like popular, what brings in the most viewers. But I just I wanted you just to like highlight that there is work being done. Like we as constituents, like, you know, we have to do our own research as well, mm-hmm. which a lot of us don't do. Like, I'm guilty of that, you know, when mm-hmm. it's time to vote, you know, I'm just like, I either don't go to vote in the primary or I don't know who I'm voting for because we don't do our research. But I know like y'all out there with Auntie Maxine and others like really putting in the work, because like y'all are in the trenches, and you've definitely highlighted that, like, you are facing some of our country's biggest problems, like one of our biggest problems. So like Kemi said, no, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for sharing that too, because I just want people to know, like, we have to know what's going on in our own communities, right, so we know right. who to elect for office and right. why people are on TV. And like, I'm just thinking of like C-SPAN is like one of those things that I'm like, C-SPAN's legit, but you know, we see CNN and Fox and it's like, they're just arguing all the time. They're just like butting heads, so.
I would say watch C-SPAN when if you want it at the background noise, watch C-SPAN, because there's a lot that actually happens. A lot of drama too on both ends of the spectrum. But I would say, although yes, I'm on the federal level, local policies really do matter. And I would mm-hmm. encourage everybody to read up on who you're voting for. Vote, honestly, vote, especially for local members that are trying to run, because they really are the ones that impact your community, your day-to-day life. Yes, at the federal level, we make the overhead rules, but it's really at the local level that they're ones that we can't overpower. We can't tell them. We can authorize, but we can't overpower their local laws to get things moving. So I do encourage everybody to really pay attention to what's happening in their communities.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, this has been fascinating to me. I know Kemi too. I can see her over there, and we're nodding our heads like, oh, this is great. So thank you so much for being on, Melissa, not just for like the career chat, like to talk about what you do, but you've also talked about like our responsibility as citizens of this country that we live in. Interesting country that we live in. But no, I think you've done like a great job just for our listeners to get multiple aspects today. So thanks so much for being on with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. Yeah. It's been fun.
Yeah, absolutely. We enjoyed you. And thank you everybody for listening. We appreciate your support. If there are other careers you want to hear from. We say it every time. Let us know. We just come. We just ask our friends and people that we know to help us. But if you have things that you want to hear about or you're curious about certain careers, we're happy to do the research to find people. But just let us know. We love to hear from you all. But thanks for your support and listening, sharing the podcast, following us. We really appreciate everybody. And you know where to find us. If you're new here, you can find us on Instagram and TikTok at Yawsyn Podcast, Yawsyn Podcast. Feel free to follow us there for more content like this. But thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you in the next one. See you.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening to the latest episode of Your Advisors Will See You Now. Please make sure to follow us on all of our social media pages and check out our website. Take a look at the show notes below.
And please make sure to subscribe and share this podcast. Also, show us some love and please leave a 5-star review. Catch you next time.
See ya.